Netcasting from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Sydney, you're listening to this week's FX Podcast from FXGuide.com.
Thanks for listening to this FX Podcast. I'm John Montgomery. Our focus this week is going to be on the Visual Effects Society. It's an organization made up of well over 1,000 members around the world. Of course, its members include computer visual effects artists, but also people like model makers, studio executives, even technological folks behind the scenes who help get the visual effects on the screen, big or small. Mike is going to be speaking with Eric Roth, who's executive director of the organization. Coming up in about 2 weeks, on the evening of February 15th, they'll be holding the 4th Annual VES Awards in Los Angeles, honoring outstanding achievements in the visual effects field. So, without further delay, I think we should just head on down to Sydney, where Mike Seymour is standing by with Eric Roth. Mike?
Well, thanks for that, John. And Eric's joining us on the line now from Los Angeles. Thanks for joining us this morning, or this afternoon, I should say.
Glad to be a part of your show.
So let's start by asking the most simple question is, what is the VES?
Well, VES, we're an organization that represents the over 1,300 visual effects artists worldwide, and we're represented in over 16 countries. And you know, our members are the most extraordinarily talented people who do all those cool and crazy things that anyone who ever sees any kind of delivered entertainment, whether it's movies, TV, animation, video games, you name it, the people who do all those wonderful, wonderful things, the best of the best of them, those people are our members.
So I imagine quite a few of our listeners are members, and the stats are very impressive. I know I've been a member now for a few years, dating back to I think the first show, the actual summer show. Can you tell us about those annual shows? We're up to what now? The sixth, are we?
Well, no, we have upcoming in a couple of weeks. We've got our fourth annual Visual Effects Awards show, and then later in July, we're going to have, I think it's our seventh annual Festival of Visual Effects.
I'm sorry,
These are our two signature shows. For the fourth annual awards show on February 15th here in Los Angeles, we're going to give out the awards for all the best categories of visual effects, and we've got 20 of them this year, and we're also going to be honoring a really, really key person who's been in the news worldwide, and that's John Lasseter of Pixar, and now Disney is going to get our Georges Méliès Award for Artistic Excellence. Then come July, we will put on an event at the world-famous Egyptian Theater here in Hollywood, where we will have a three-day festival taking a real close look at some of the best visual effects over the past year, and especially some of the biggest shows that are be opening around that time. And we know we'll be taking a fresh look at Superman, which will have just opened, and we know that a lot of it was shot down in Australia.
Yeah. The festival is what I was referring to, and that was absolutely... I remember when I went to the first one, it was astounding because, especially the early days, there was a lot more than just you'd get at any other kind of festival. In fact, I remember it was like the second or third year when we were doing Apollo 13, Buzz Aldrin came out and discussed what it was really like to take off. And I remember, similarly, I think the guys from Henson's came and there were gorillas in the audience picking nits out of attendees. The festivals are always great. Hey,
that offers the show offers us some really fun and creative opportunities, and we will take off on that depending on what the actual pieces of the show turn out to be. For instance, this past year, we did a big panel on Batman Begins, and we were lucky, to be able to work with the producers of the show, and they actually delivered the Batmobile, to the theater, and all of our guests were able to get photographed with the actual Batmobile, and that was about as cool as it kind of gets.
Yeah, though I must say that's rivaled only by when they turned up with the Mars rover, and they had the duplicate in the auditorium.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to get a ride on the Mars rover, but right. If we can get it, we'll try.
Well, no, that was there 1 year, a few years ago, and I think Mars, there were two Mars films out, and they turned up with the rover. And
right, I was thinking of the one that's up there now, as to whether or not we could possibly get that returned and have our folks be part of that as well. But we'll have to wait on that one.
I think the important thing, though, is unlike maybe some festivals that tend to play it for the whiz-bang stuff, there is actually an enormous amount of useful information presented in a very technical way at the festivals. And it's not really a you know, I guess we're glossing over some of the depth that you actually get from attending those festivals.
Absolutely. The festival is designed to not only appeal to the public at large, but to the working professional. So, you know, we will have a number of panels that are designed and geared towards people who are already in the profession, who want to see the magic and the tricks that some of their colleagues have done, or who want to just, you know, bend the boundaries of technological capabilities on some of the issues they're already working on. So we continue to explore and take a look at, you know, what kinds of issues we might want to have dominate the festival. And we'll combine that with looking at some of the big shows that are coming out. We're probably going to do a couple of panels on just the role of international visual effects and some other things. We're still in the planning stages right now for our festival.
So you mentioned the Batman Begins thing a year or so ago. That's also one of the that's actually included in this year's awards. I think it was in Best Environment, the Gotham City sequence, if I was remember from my voting. So let's move to the awards and discuss those. Obviously, the great thing is that rather than having the entire industry lumped into one category as best visual effect, there is an opportunity for you know, individuals in areas that are maybe not the biggest blockbuster of the year to get recognition for the work they do.
Exactly. What we have designed is a way to honor all the work in visual effects so that not just the best visual effects in a movie, but also for broadcast TV, but also in animation and video games and the best supporting visual effects in all of those genres as well. But in addition, we also look at, you know, commercials and music videos, and we look at, you know, outstanding animated character in a live action motion picture and all kinds of things. Basically, what we're looking to do is to honor the best of the work that actually occurs on a year-to-year basis that employs the visual effects toolbox. And at the end of the day, that's what visual effects is. It's a tool, and it's a tool in service to telling good stories. So a movie, a TV show, a commercial, any of those things will only be as good as the story that is trying to tell. The use of visual effects by these talented artists can only enhance that, but at the end of the day, it's always in service to the story.
Because I think in many respects, while the Oscars are obviously an enormously significant event and one can't take anything away from that, it's really hard to imagine now that moving forward, Best Oscar for Visual Effects won't be won by a 1,000-plus people company. I mean, it's almost inconceivable that you could win Best Oscar for anything but a major, you know, multi-million dollar epic. Whereas, of course, the awards here are, as you say, honoring work done in various fields, not just, you know, the biggest companies with the hugest, largest budgets.
That's absolutely correct. We've got submissions, you know, from all over the world. We received over 200 submissions, in fact, for people who wanted to submit their work to us, and they clearly range from the sole practitioner up to the largest companies who submitted their work to us. And we will look at the quality of the work, not box office, not political relationships, not anything. It's the quality of the work. And if you know, someone who has done some work in his own home garage and it appeared anywhere in a public setting, and that work is the best out there, that's a person who is eligible to win our award. So we have put in place some very stringent rules in terms of making sure that we honor the best work, and we have nothing that that gets in the way of that.
Now, last week, I think it was, we had the show and tell. How did that go? Can you explain that for us?
Oh, the show and tell was really fabulous. The VES show and tell allowed the nominees from those categories to not only show their material, their submissions, but to provide before and after material, explain it, and open it up to Q&A from the audience. So here was a real chance to take the viewer, in this case the people in the audience, and it was open to all VES members, to really take a visit behind the scenes and see how the magic was created, and to ask, you know, direct questions, you know, how did you do this or that, or why did you do it this way and not that way? And it was really eye-opening, extraordinarily fun, and people walked away just agog over the fantastic work that the Best Visual Effects this year produced.
So the actual awards are voted on by members, and I think let's turn some attention to the membership itself, because it's a pretty exceptional group statistically. I'm just quoting some stats now from your own publicity, but 45% are visual effects supervisors or directors, 15% are in senior management, two-thirds have over 11 years experience, and you've even managed to get 20% of the membership to be women, which is just, you know, really terrific for the quality of both the organization, but of course reflected in the awards. And I'm just wondering, in that split, one thing that I've really noticed this year to do with the voting is that you've got online voting, which is much more accessible to those people outside, say, LA or the USA. And if I'm not mistaken, about 30% of members, is that right, are outside the USA? Or what is the membership?
Actually, right now, at least, I don't know the exact numbers offhand, but probably even more than 30% are outside of Los Angeles. But what the interesting thing is, not only is our voting online, but you can also view the actual nominees' work online. So the great thing is that whether you're in Australia or you're in England or you're in India, if you're a VES member, you can go to an encrypted site that is absolutely security enabled, and you can view all the work that you're going to vote on, and then you can vote on it online in real time, and your vote is counted. Because previously, you had to physically be here in Los Angeles in a secluded room with anyone else from the society to show up at the exact same time, view the work, and then vote on the spot. Which was, you know, it was kind of interesting, but unless you were physically able to be here, you weren't eligible to vote. So now we have an opportunity for all of our members worldwide to not only vote online, but we are the only organization that has figured out a way, because we, you know, we're pretty good at using technology. We have put all the work itself online so it can be viewed by the members right before they vote.
I think that's really significant. The organization certainly, it seems like in the last couple of years, has addressed some criticism that it had going back a couple of years, because it used to be that one of the things the VES offered was, of course, the screenings, which are terrific. But the screenings, the show, and as you said, the voting were all terribly LA-centric. And
right.
For an international or even just outside Los Angeles American community, it was extremely hard to be as involved as perhaps someone would like.
Sure.
So do you intend to, moving forward, you know, embrace more stuff? Because this society is not meant to be an American society. It's not...
Not at all. We recently underwent a strategic planning effort, and the board of directors absolutely reaffirmed that we are a global organization, as befits a society that's got members in 16 countries. And along those lines, since I have taken over the helm of the society about a year and a half ago, we've now not only started doing screenings in London, in Vancouver, Toronto, San Francisco, New Zealand, and a couple of other places. I mean, there'll be more. I believe we might have done one or two also as well in Sydney, but I have to double-check with staff on that. Because we haven't done it yet, it's in the works. Our goal is to ensure that all of our members worldwide get access to the benefits of being a member. And in fact, we're also setting up sections of VES. The board has recently approved the policy to set up an actual section of VES outside of Los Angeles. We'll set up our first section in San Francisco within the next few weeks, and our second section will probably be London. And the minimum criteria for that is that a local geographic area has to have at least 50 VES members. got 50 members who want to be a VES section, I will come on there, get on a plane and go there and, get it organized, and it'll happen.
Yeah, that really is good. I mean, speaking to other VES members, and the other two founders of FX Guide are both VES members, one in Chicago and Los Angeles. There was this whole thing about you redesigning the website and having a new logo, and one always is slightly cynical when you see a company or an organization doing that. But in fact, this really has represented significant expansion or maturity in the organization, and it's been great to see, and it's been great, as I say, in the awards for the first time to allow that to be really an inclusive process, which is terrific. We did have one...
We are trying to grow in a number of directions. One is how big an organization we are. When I took over, we had a little over 900 members. Now we have 1,300 members. We want to grow internally as well in terms of being able to provide support to our members in terms of benefits and in terms of access to all that this industry has to offer by increasing seminars and screenings and services and all those things to the most internal of all, which is the infrastructure of who we are. And so you mentioned, like, our website. We just launched our new website about a week or two ago. That was a long time in coming. It's still essentially what we would say would be in our beta stage, because there's many more modules that need to be rolled out in the next couple of weeks. But we're doing all that we can to show that visual effects as an industry is poised to get ever more dramatic and play a larger role in the delivery of entertainment in the future. And the visual effects society needs to match that same sense of energy so that our members can step up and provide leadership to the field at large. And we also, just as you mentioned, adopted our new logo, which is very elegant in its simplicity of who we are, and should hopefully stand the test of time and be with us for a good long while.
Yeah, it is good. I mean, I don't know if it was the last annual general meeting that I was at, but it was the one where Paul DeBeverick was talking, and and it is an incredibly good group of people, and those events, when you can attend them in Los Angeles, are always worth attending. So if we can get that spread out, that would be good. I have one question for you from an
American along those lines.
Great. I have one question for you on an American line, though, because as I said, some of our a lot of our listeners are from America. One of the things that's of issue there is healthcare. Now, many guilds and organizations in Los Angeles, for example, that deal with other parts of filmmaking have particularly good healthcare systems on offer and systems. I'm wondering whether the VES is going to get more involved in that area. I think at the moment there's a link, or there was a link on the website, but it simply went to a broker.
Right, right. That link is still there. And that is to a broker who specializes in helping find healthcare for sole practitioners who are not company affiliated. And in fact, I was able to learn about it's Progressive Healthcare is who that is, and I found out about them through talking with a number of other similar situated companies here in Hollywood. So that's a real benefit for our members to have. In a larger sense, though, because we are ourselves not a union or a guild, and therefore we are not part of any collective bargaining process, we do not have any way to create and or administer a formalized healthcare coverage plan. So for us, we need to continue, which we are continuing to do, look at some other options that might be useful to our members. And we're hopeful that over the course of the next year or so, we can figure out how we can perhaps work with some other organizations and create a larger mass of individuals who might be able to just band together and create some kind of healthcare entity that can give all of our members access to it. That's something that's going to take a while because, again, we are not a guild or a union, so therefore it takes a lot of extra creative energy to get that figured out, but it is clearly something that we are taking an active look in.
Yeah, and I think that's the case with, 50% of the membership being either freelance or they're, free agents. The majority of the VES membership, or at least half of it, I guess, isn't in large companies then.
That's absolutely true. And given the fact that our members members are in 16 countries, there, you know, it makes it harder to figure out a way to provide, you know, healthcare coverage through different U.S. states and then different countries. There's not going to be one size fits all when it comes to that issue.
And you mentioned and touched on it briefly there about the role of advocacy, but in fact, the VES has, in the past, started to adopt that role. And I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying that it was maybe a couple of years ago that the VES was instrumental in connecting between the effects houses and the manufacturers over the need to have a Linux version of most software to provide stability moving forward. Could you discuss, you know, that advocacy role? Because I think it's a unique thing that you're in a position to offer.
Sure. Given that we are situated where we are, in that we represent a lot of the key players in the visual effects industry, we have the potential to play a key role on a specific individual basis. And for instance, one issue that we're going to take a look at over the course of the next year is the issue of credits in how our members, which credits our members are given and where they are in the crawl. Again, we are not a union, so there is no capability to have an enforcement of any collective bargaining action. However, when it comes to something like the issue of credits, we can speak with a loud voice in terms of being logical of what makes sense, because we're always hearing that our members get upset with how the credits are done, and we also hear from the studios and others that they would like to see some kind of uniform system that makes sense so that they can avoid getting into fights with either individuals or vendors. So we have embarked on a very detailed, extensive effort to try to first come to an understanding internally within VES, and then once we finalize a series of recommendations, then we will start talking to all the studios and others so that we can go forward and make some changes happen that we have to convince them through the weight of the logic that it makes good sense to adopt these recommendations, because, again, we have no ability to enforce through collective bargaining.
And I think I've skipped ahead because I should have pointed out, for those that don't know, that the sort of governing group of people, not necessarily just those that are on the board or whatever, but the active membership actually reads like a who's who of the industry, from every major visual effects house to almost every major visual effects supervisor. I mean, you do carry a lot of weight.
Well, we're very pleased with the quality of the individuals who are on our board. The chair of our board is Carl Rosendahl, who started PDI 25 years ago, and as you all may know, that eventually got bought out by DreamWorks and became the animation arm of DreamWorks. And we just added, for instance, this past month, a new member to our board is Richard Edlin, who is the executive director of the Academy's visual effects branch. So, you know, when you go on down the line, we've got lots of great people who have done some of the finest work ever, and if you total how many Oscars and Emmys and other awards that they have won, you'd be, you know, well over 100. So, you know, I'm very proud to say that we've got a very talented and august board.
Could you tell us about the Power Circle?
Sure. The Power Circle is a program that we just launched in the past few months, and it's an opportunity for businesses and companies out there who want to get closer to VES to become a business member of VES. VES is a practitioner's organization. Our bylaws and our practice has been that we represent the individuals who work on a daily basis in the field of visual effects. But we have found that there are many companies who'd like to have some say and some involvement in what the Visual Effects Society does, and so we've created this program that allows businesses to become more involved. And so if they choose to become a business member of the society, we're going to put together some opportunities for these businesses to take part, let's say, in a think tank dinner that we're looking to organize over the next few months, where we would have some of the top people in the field get together in a very collegial way to just essentially touch base with each other, people who normally never get a chance to spend time with each other because they're all working on their projects around the world. We'll try try to get them together for that. We're offer, you know, our business members various sponsoring opportunities and things of that sort. So it's a program that we just launched, and that's also evolving, but we're very excited about it.
So let's say, just in finishing up, somebody, well, I guess two things. Firstly, if somebody is already a member, how can they get involved in seeing the awards or going to the awards night?
Well, if someone wants to come to the awards, all they have to do is just tell us they want to come. Tickets to the award show are $300 for the public at large, but for VES members, they're only $150, so it's a full 50% discount. And if anyone wants to come, you know, they just need to contact me or our event consultant, and it's here in Los Angeles at the Hollywood Palladium on February 15th. I would love to see some folks who might be L.A. bound from Australia to come on and visit. And if anyone does come, please feel free to give me a buzz. I'd love to say hello to you.
And for those people that are listening that aren't actually VES members, how would they go about going through the process or starting the process of applying?
Sure. They should just go to our website, www.visualeffectssociety.com, and we've got all the information is there. Just click on the member tab, and it'll show you how to become a member. There's an application online, and essentially there are two requirements. That first, you need to have had 5 years of experience in the field of visual effects, and then you need the recommendations from two current Visual Effects Society members. And if you can meet those two criteria, you know, chances are very good that you'll be admitted to the society.
Eric, I have one last question, which I forgot to ask earlier, but I've personally been dying to know this. If I was, say, a member of the American Cinematographer Society, you'd see a screen credit with ASC after my name. Though it was discouraged very strongly in the early days from anyone actually putting VES after their name. And the hint was back then that there would be some accreditation for actually allowing that to happen in the future. Has that been discussed recently? Where is that at?
The answer to your question is yes, it has been discussed recently, but the end result of those discussions are, as of now, we still do not use the letters VES because we're looking at various ways as to how to create a policy that would allow for when and how to use those letters. For instance, at the ASC, you know that anyone who uses those letters is a director of photography, because you need to be such to be a member of ASC. The way we're different is because we have so many different disciplines, from video games and animation to film and TV, and because we've got compositors and rotoscopers as well as visual effects supervisors and visual effects producers, there's so many different ways to look at who and how that might be something that someone should be eligible for. So that's an ongoing discussion that we're having, trying to figure out, you know, what would be make the most sense in terms of being able to have a certain percentage of our members use those letters.
Well, that's really cleared it up. Thanks. And look, I know that you're incredibly busy in the lead up to the awards show, so I really appreciate you taking time out, and I'm sure we've learned a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I enjoyed spending time with you.
Well, thanks, Mike, and thanks, Eric, for taking the time to talk to us this week about VES. I'll be looking forward to the awards here in 2 weeks. Coming up later in the week on Effects Guide, we're going to be publishing a story about Le Building. That's a short animated French film made by a team of five students in Paris. And we have an exclusive interview and a little making-of video that we think you'll find really interesting. Thanks for all the kind comments regarding the integration of VFX Blog into Effects Guide. Again, we're all really excited about having Ian joining the crew here. So until next week, for Jeff Huser and Mike Seymour, I'm John Montgomery. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX Podcast. Please let us know if you have any suggestions for stories or future podcasts. You can reach us by using the Contact Us links at the top of the homepage. This podcast is copyright 2006 FX Guide LLC. Broadcast or redistribution is prohibited without the expressed written consent of FX Guide LLC.